thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
About 14 months ago, I walked into an event, and Dr. Christman, our executive vice president, came to me and said, "Someone wants to meet you." Typically, when someone wants to meet me and they seek me out, I'm getting ready for a chewing. Something's happened that they don't like. But in this case, it was a Christmas party, so I was a little less concerned. And for the next hour or two, quite a while, we sat and visited with a dear couple of God. I loved their spirit. As I learned about them, I learned that their connection to CIU goes back many years to when Jack and Karen Close were at this university, but up at that university at that time, Jack and Karen have worked here, but they were at the university or at the Bible college where this couple went and had impacted them greatly. Today, Michael Bolton, who serves as a speaker, coach, and trainer at venues across the United States. He's been a pastor for 25 years and a college instructor, and now he has taken his ministry into the business community doing personal coaching. Today, Mr. Michael Bolton will come and be our speaker.
Well, thank you, Dr. Smith, Dr. Lamfer, Dr. Jones, Dr. Christman, Dr. Rogers, deans of the various schools, faculty, the Board of Trustees, Dr. Finzel. Just want to thank you so much for the opportunity to be here and speak at this commencement. But we're not here to hear me speak. We're here for the graduates. And I'd like to join me in congratulating them on the success that they are enjoying today. Now, graduates, I'd like you to return the favor because you know that no one succeeds in life without others around them. You guys understand that? So thank them. <laughs> 331 graduates are graduating, 147 here today at this event. And moments like these are incredibly important in the seasons and stages of our life. We want to celebrate moments like this. I particularly want to celebrate the first cohort group of PhD students. Wave at me. Where are you guys and gals? Let's give them a special congratulation, the first graduating cohort group. They were joking about it yesterday, the terminal degree. Either you finish or something else happens. I'm not sure what. But you graduates are in very elite company. PhD graduates constitute about 1% of people worldwide, about 2% in the United States. Master's level graduates, where are you guys? Wave at me. Congratulations. About 13% of the population is able to earn a master's degree. And how about our baccalaureate graduates? Wave at me. About 35% of people are able to graduate with their baccalaureate's degree. It's so important in life to realize that many people have dreams, many people have visions, many people have lists of things they'd like to accomplish, but you went from wanting it or desiring it to actually getting it done. And I congratulate you for that. Completing it and getting it done. Well done. Now, moments like these as well cause us to reflect. And I'm a big person on reflect. How many people have heard the phrase, experience is a great teacher? How many people have heard that? It is incorrect, just so you know. reflected and evaluated experience is the great teacher. Because many people can have experiences and they learn nothing from it. And I was thinking to myself, how am I here today speaking to this graduating class and all of your friends and family in Columbia, South Carolina? So, if you'll join me on a little journey, I want to take you on a little journey, which will help bring full circle how I ended up being here today. More than 60 years ago, there were two young men. One of them was my dad, and the other was Jack Close, growing up in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. How many people even know where that is? All right, it's a long way from here, and it's been winter there a long time already. And these two men, growing up together and became best friends, did a lot of mischievous things together. But a couple of things they did enjoy: hunting. They enjoyed the outdoors. They enjoyed studying the Bible. They enjoyed cars. And they really helped each other grow. Jack was the best man at my parents' wedding. He was with my dad when I was born. He left Winnipeg to go to Texas to earn his bachelor and ultimately his doctorate in chemistry. Married a young woman called Karen Westerman, who later became Karen Close after marriage. And they moved to Weyburn, Saskatchewan, Canada, to work at a small high school and Bible college. In the late 70s, a young lady called Debbie made her way to that school. Her grandfather had been one of the founding people involved in it. Her mom was in the first graduating class. Her older siblings had graduated from there. And she came to go to school and live in the dormitory. And Karen Close was her dorm mother, watching over her, speaking into her life, encouraging her, challenging her, calling out the God-given talent and ability that was on the inside of her. Well, along came a young person to attend the school and to play club hockey in the community. That was me. And Debbie got on my radar after a very interesting set of circumstances. And Karen was not too pleased that Debbie, who was only going to marry a pastor, was dating this hockey player who was not yet fully redeemed, even though he had given his life to Jesus. It was a work in progress. And she was very cautious about whether this relationship was going to go anywhere and whether she would even approve of it. Because if she didn't approve of it, it was not going to happen. How many people know what I'm talking about? Well, Debbie and I were married, and we kind of discuss how long we've been married. It's 38 and a half years by my calculation. She says it's 38 or 39. You can't do those half years. You know, when kids are little, they go, I'm 3 1/2, I'm 4 1/2, I'm 6 1/2. Well, that was kind of me with our with how long we've been married. And then in 2002, Karen was going to be coming to a school in the U.S. to work on her master's degree to go back and teach at the Bible College in Canada. And this was the first time, 2002, that I heard about Columbia International University. We talked to them about the circumstances, how she had found out about it, the innovative program, the way they had welcomed her in. We're going to give her the opportunity, the amazing people that she met here at this institution. And her husband, Jack, moved down for her to be able to pursue not one, but ultimately two master's degrees. And we came, Debbie and I came several times to visit. And I thought, what a lovely campus. I met some of the people. I thought, what nice people. But that was the extent of my interest in this institution. It was just another one where our friends were going, and ultimately she would be back in Canada and teaching at the school that my wife and I had both graduated from and I had taught at as well. But you know, sometimes in life there are defining moments. Moments that you look back on and you go, that was a defining moment, though at the time you don't realize how defining a moment it is. Fast forward to 2020. Everybody remembers 2020. And at the beginning of the year, my wife and I were talking about what are some things that God has put on your heart, our heart, to be able to pray about and look for in 2020. And she told me, she said, I get this word education. I don't know what it means. I don't know what it's going to look like, but we need to be praying this year about education, about higher education. Where can we be involved? What is God going to put on our radar? So we began to pray and to watch. November 2020 in Florida, Debbie and I are at an event, and I notice on the list of people who are attending, it's Dr. Smith, Dr. Christman. And I go, CIU, I know that place. That's where Karen, now she finished her doctorate, she's teaching here. I want to meet the president and the executive vice president and chat with them. Do they know Karen? What do they know? Have they connected with her and Jack? That was all it was going to be, was just a social connection. And the few days we were there, it was the last night of the event, and we got seated together at a table and began to talk. And it was more than just a conversation. There was a God aspect to it that really brought things into unbelievably clear focus. There's more to this than just a chance meeting. I really feel like God has orchestrated this meeting. And I don't know for what purpose, but it has definitely got my attention. And within the last few months, that's been 13 months ago, Debbie and I came to a president's retreat. I joined the president's advisory council, came and attended several events on campus. I've met students, connected with students, have become a giver to this institution because Debbie and I believe in the mission and ministry of this school. Soon to be celebrating 100 years of incredible service. That is no small task in today's world. And we are excited about what God is going to do. But I want to give you some observations as kind of a newcomer to the CIU family. At the first president's retreat we attended, Debbie and I talked about it several times during the event and afterwards, and noted the quality of the people that are connected to this institution. They're focused, they're successful, they serve. But here was the thing we both noted, an incredible level of humility, an unusual level of humility. As they defer to one another, as you compliment them, and it's no false humility. They just don't want the attention to be on them. They want it to be on the students. They want it to be on the mission. They want it to be on God. That's who they want to give honor to. And we were incredibly impressed, number one, by the quality of people connected to this institution. And then getting to meet more of the faculty and the staff of this institution. It didn't stop with just those involved, the people who work on this campus. A level of conscientiousness, a level of a striving for excellence, a level of compassion and caring for the students that goes beyond just checking in with them. That they are genuinely connected and care about the lives of the students of this institution. And that was something else I noticed, an unbelievable culture of caring and excellence. But then the third group, I got a chance to meet some of the students. And before graduation today, I wanted to connect with some of the graduates. One of them, graduating with his doctoral degree, Joey Eldridge. Where are you, Joey? There he is. We haven't actually connected face-to-face. We talked on the phone. I could have listened to his story for hours as he told me bits and pieces of his journey of getting to this place of accomplishment today. Lives right here in Lexington. Not married that long as well, right? Has a background in athletics and recreation. COVID came and he had some extra time. What a great time to start a program. You kind of look back and go, okay, we'll just kind of leave it at that. And he was sharing with me how he felt like almost dropping out. And he told me the story about marathon runners. I didn't know this, that most people who drop out of the marathon drop out at mile 20. 80% of the way completed. And it's that last little bit that gets you over the finish line. And he said it was the caring people, the staff, the faculty, who came alongside and encouraged, did whatever it took to help him to accomplish his dream. I talked to another graduate, Jeremy Vetter. Where's Jeremy? Where are you, Jeremy? Are you here? There we are. Jeremy, good to see you. Jeremy told me a little bit about himself. Background in corrections, had some time, was working on various certifications. I think I'm going to work on a master's degree, organizational leadership. But he and his wife have a busy life. They foster, they've adopted some kids. And they had to navigate even, I think you told me your wife was actually finishing a graduate degree as well. And trying to navigate this world of busyness. But somehow finding a way to get it done. Another good friend of mine, R.D. Saunders, he's not here today. So R.D., congratulations. I think he's in Denver when I talked to him last. Well done, finishing a master's degree in organizational leadership as well. He works with the John Maxwell Organization. I've met him at several events. I didn't even know he was in the program until he told me he was graduating. It'd been a long time since he went to college, 35 or so years ago. And this was the thing I asked him, what did you think when you started? He said, I didn't know if I could do it. But the quality of the faculty, the quality of the people who came alongside, who helped and encouraged him to be able to accomplish his dream and accomplish the goal that he had in front of him. So I asked him, are you going to work on your PhD? He goes, I haven't got to that point yet. So those involved in the program, RD, I think he seriously considered it. He made a follow up with him. But it was one of those things going, I don't know if I can do it. And yet somehow finding deep within, and you guys understand this, finding that place deep within you, that reserve there that says just a little bit more and I'll be able to accomplish my dreams. Not quitting before they're accomplished. And then one last graduate, Joanna Raley. Where are you, Joanna? There you are. Graduating today with her bachelor's degree in intercultural studies. She really wants to work with nations. And she comes from a family who works with nations. And then I said, tell me about your dad. Well, he's a pro bass fisherman. I go, you can actually do that? She goes, yeah. But he doesn't do it just as a pro bass fisherman. He does it because he wants to connect people to Jesus. And I go, wow. All of you graduates, and frankly, everybody in this room, you have a story about how you got to this point in your life. Everybody's story matters, but especially these graduates whose story has come to a significant milestone marker. It's interesting, I've observed that it's much easier to see the hand of God in reverse looking back than it is walking forward. Is that true? Because walking forward involves faith, that we choose to trust God even though we're not certain about the outcome. But it's easy as we look back to see the hand of God. And so I want to leave you with these two questions to contemplate. If I can kind of sum up some wisdom, people go, what's been the secret of your success? I go, God, my wife, my family. But two important questions that I ask regularly. So if you remember nothing else about this, remember these two questions, because I want to encourage you in the days, weeks, months, and years moving forward to continually ask these two questions. Number one, God, is this you? When moments and circumstances and opportunities come, that's the first question that I ask. God, is this you? When I met Dr. Smith and he began to share with me 13 months ago, began to share with me the vision of this institution, in a way that I had not heard it before. Something began to stir on the inside of me. Now, naturally, I love connecting with people. And so I can always run ahead. But I had to stop and ask the question, God, is this you at work? And after prayer, after discussions with my wife, after getting wise counsel, the answer was yes. Dr. Smith was mentioning about my wife, Debbie, and starting a company called Norwex 25 plus years ago. I remember the day she came home with this little red cloth, this little red cleaning cloth, and said, I think there's something to this. And I go, honey, at the moment I don't see it, but if you see it, I'm with you. And let's see what God can do. And to look at the journey, when we make choices to ask the question, God, is this you? And then follow up with it. God, are these the people, the right people? Is this the right place? And more importantly, hear me, is this the right time? Because the right thing at the wrong time is going to end up being the wrong thing. In the book of Galatians, Paul says, stay in cadence, stay in step with the Spirit. That's my goal in life. I want to stay in step with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And I'm reminded about Jeremiah 29. God saying, I know the plans I have for you, to prosper you and not harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul talks about God has planned in advance good works that we should walk in them. My goal, my job is to hear God and to stay in step with the Spirit. So number one, asking the question, God, is this you? And then number two, and this one is equally as important, God, what's next? It's great to celebrate. Don't celebrate for too long. Enjoy the day. But you are going to have to get up tomorrow or the next day, Lord willing, and you're going to have to ask the question, Lord, what is next? Because we live life and we live a life of purpose moving forward, not looking back. We live it moving forward. And it's important in life to realize that what God has done and wants to do in us is to build a legacy. I'm going to quote the smartest person that I know. Her name is Debbie Bolton. She happens to be my wife. Now, you may think, of course, she's incredibly brilliant. She married you. But it has nothing to do with that, all right? I'm going to pay for that. Okay, we'll just move on. But my wife often says, regularly says, if you want to build a dynasty, it'll be about you. And it will not last. But if you want to build a legacy that will go on beyond you, make it about other people. Make it about other people. Invest your time in making yourself bigger on the inside before you're big on the outside. Did you hear that? Constantly be growing bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. And then when you grow bigger on the outside, you'll be a worthwhile and amazing servant. So I want to close with these thoughts. I want to encourage you to keep learning. Learn, learn, learn. I want to encourage you to keep growing. And I want to encourage you to keep serving. To honor the legacy that you are creating and honor the legacy of this institution, to know him and to make him known. Be blessed. Thank you.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.